The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? For he calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside. Can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because they said, 'I am the Son of God'? For I do not perform my Father's works. Do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized. There he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. If you've ever gone to a Japanese buffet, or any buffet for that matter, and I would encourage you not to go today because it's Friday in Lent, you have a wide variety of foods that you can choose from. A wide variety. Well, the Mass is somewhat like this Japanese buffet in the sense that myself as priest and preacher, I have a wide variety of topics that I can choose from. For example, I could choose to preach my homily on the prophet Isaiah that you heard first reading. Or I could choose to preach on the responsorial psalm. Or I could choose to preach on the gospel, which is usually the most common topic that the priest will choose to preach upon. Or I could choose to preach upon the saint that we have today. Today I could preach on Saint John Baptist de La Salle. I could give a good homily on him. Or I could take the whole rich resources we have of the prayers I say right after the homily today, which is called the Liturgy of the Eucharist, the Eucharistic Liturgy. Or, if that were not enough, I could preach on what is called the Collect. Now, why do you call it the Collect? Because in the early church, the people would collect at the church. They'd be walking. They finally collect, which means gather. And once they arrived, the priest would say, "Let us pray," and then he would say the opening prayer. A little bit of liturgical history for you. Now today is very interesting. In the collect, there's an option. I could have prayed pardon the offenses of your people, we pray, O Lord, and in your goodness set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness. I could have chosen that. But being an oblate of the Virgin Mary, having great devotion to Mary, there's an option, which is a very beautiful prayer. Maybe you weren't paying attention, okay? I hope you were, though. In which the Church says, O God, who in this season give your Church the grace to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin Mary. Are you listening? In contemplating the Passion of Christ, grant, we pray, through her intercession, that we may cling more firmly each day to your only begotten Son and come at last to the fullness of his grace. Fullness of his grace. Is that Marian? Who's the full of grace? Who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. You do your whole holy hour just on that. You could, if you're trained in the exercises. And many of you are trained in the exercises. Spend the whole hour just on those few words. So that prayer, the essence of the prayer is this. We are 1 week away from Good Friday. So next Friday is going to be Good Friday. So all of you are coming to Mass on Good Friday? Yes, Father. No, there's no Mass on Good Friday. All of you are bowing. There's no Mass on Good Friday, so you can't come to Mass. It does not exist. Okay? But there is a very beautiful liturgy that almost appears to be a Mass, in which you have the reading of the Passion of Christ, the adoration of the cross, when you come up and you kiss the cross, and then we say the Our Father, and you can receive the Eucharist. So it kind of appears to be a Mass, but it's really not a Mass. It's the liturgy, the Passion. Now, let's go back to the topic of to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin Mary in contemplating the Passion of Christ. There's no one in the world that ever contemplated the Passion better than Mary. It's almost as if she's light years different. There's a light year difference between any greatest saint contemplating the Passion of Christ and Mary. And I say light years difference. That's, you math majors, that's a huge distance. Huge distance. So I invite all of you to try to contemplate the Passion of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. I can give you resources, as they say in Spanish, mi vicio, my vice, my attachment is I love literature. You know me by now. And I'll always be giving you bibliographical or literary tools that you can use. I think the best would be Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. It's probably the best you have out there. And she's a blessed. And she was a mystic that had the whole life of Jesus, from the conception of Mary all the way up until Mary's assumption. And it can be bought in volumes. One of the most famous volumes would be the Dolorous Passion of Christ. And you can also get it on CD. Last year, I listened it to on CD in my car when I was driving from one place to another. So, Blessed Catherine Emmerich is probably the best. Next would be Maria of Agreda, The City of God. Great writings. However, probably the best thing for us to view right now would be the film of Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. And that, of course, is constructed in such a way that Mary is present in the whole movie. It's a very Marian movie. where Mary is present with Christ almost every step along the way. I invite you to see that movie within the next few days. In the spiritual exercises program, which Mary and Eric are collaborators with me, as well as others, facilitators, starting tomorrow, we're going to be meditating upon the Passion of Christ. And we invite the people, in addition to their meditations, see the film of Mel Gibson. Why do I say that? Do you think if St. Ignatius were living today, he would suggest that we'd see that film? Of course! Why? Because you have these graphic images of Jesus and Mary. You have hundreds in that film. Hundreds upon hundreds. You could have a snapshot, or you could have a YouTube. You know the difference between a snapshot and a YouTube? Snapshot is just one. YouTube is a little film. Well, the film of Gibson goes on about, I'd say, an hour and 45 minutes. Barely two, not even 2 hours. But you have many, many, it's a movie. But if you're praying, you could take the movie and take some snapshots that really seem to captivate you. Now, aside from the movie, there are four snapshots which can be turned into YouTubes that I would present to you. And this is traditional Catholic Marian theology related to the sorrows of Mary. The first is the fourth station of the cross. Some of you can probably see it. Those who are close to it can even turn around and see it. Rocio is right next to you, okay? The fourth is which Mary meets Jesus. Some of you do the way of the cross. Some of you have booklets in which you're reading the prayers over that. There's a lot in that. There's a lot in it. When I do it, the thing that touches me most is I see the two tears that are coming down the cheeks of Mary. In other words, you see Jesus looking into the eyes of Mary, Mary looking into the eyes of Jesus. There's a lot in that. A mother looking into the eyes of her son. There's a lot in that. A lot. The saint's family is muchísimo. A lot. Mary looking in the eyes of Christ, she penetrated into the heart of her son. And the son penetrated the heart of the mother. The deepest communication is heart to heart. And that's the definition of prayer that Cardinal Newman gives of a colloquy. Colloquy is a heart-to-heart conversation. Now, unless you arrive at a certain mystical life, you're going to say, Father, what the heck is that? Pray over it, you'll understand later on. Pray over it, you'll understand later. You can pray vocally, but you can pray with your heart. And praying with your heart is the deepest type of prayer. So you're not vocalizing it verbally, but the heart is speaking to the heart. Mary's heart spoke to the heart of Jesus Christ in that moment. The next would be the 11th station. The 11th station. What we have is Mary's standing underneath the cross. Now there you have a snapshot. But Mary was there 3 hours. You go through that quickly. Mary was there 3 hours. Even Mel Gibson will present Mary underneath the cross for, I think, about 22, 23 minutes. But Mary was there for 3 hours. Mary actually saw the soldier. You present the soldier. You got two soldiers. One is fastening the hands. Another soldier has the hammer, is pounding the nail into the hand of Christ. Pounding the other nail into the hand of Christ. And Gibson presents it being pounded more than once, a couple of times. According to my studies, is that the nails were not sharp, but obtuse. If they were sharp, one hammer blow would have been enough. But it's obtuse, which means dull, going to happen more than once. And every hammer blow, can you imagine that? It would be an explosion of pain. Like an atomic bomb going off. An explosion of pain going through the whole body of Christ. You ever experienced that? Maybe you stub your toe against the bed and it goes from your toe all the way through your body. It's so painful. But imagine that. The nail going through his hand. An explosion of pain going through his whole body. And this, as Ignatius points out, for love of us. That's the second. The third would be Jesus is already dead. The nails are taken out of his hands and he's lowered into the arms of Mary. The Michelangelo La Pietà. Now Gibson does the best depiction, I think, in the history of the world. I don't think anyone goes beyond the way that he presents the blood-stained body of Christ lowered into the arms of Mary. It was the blood that Mary gave Jesus. Mary gave Jesus his blood. Mary was drenched, I think that's the best word to use, drenched with the blood of her own son. And there she sits, holding the dead body of Jesus that she held 33 years earlier as a little baby in Bethlehem. It's the same person, but now mangled, lacerated, an open wound, the man of sorrows. We did not recognize him, as Isaiah points out, the man of sorrows. Now, can you meditate upon that? It takes a lot of courage. I tend to run away from it because I think I'm a coward. Huh? I tend to recoil. But if we do it, it's an act of great love. It's an act of courage. It's an act of compassion. It's an act of union with Mary. And you do it to console Mary. Well, Mary always consoles us. Well, we should console her too. She has a heart. Try to console her. And the last would be the separation in which they take the body of Jesus and they deposit it in the tomb. Now Mary having the dead body of Jesus, there was a certain amount of consolation in that, even though he was dead. But the taking of the body of Jesus, burying it, that was another source of sorrow of Mary, even though the body was dead. So I don't think we've ever plumbed the depths of how much Mary suffered. And that's why St. Alfonso Liguori says that Mary is a martyr. What is a martyr? Martyr is someone that dies for Christ. So what Jesus suffered in his body, Mary suffered in her heart. That's why we call Mary the Queen of Martyrs. So my friends, why don't you try sometime today to contemplate the sorrows of Mary. Spend some time meditating, contemplating Mary encountering Jesus at the fourth station, Mary encountering Jesus at the foot of the cross, the Stabat Mater, Mary holding the dead body, lacerated body of Jesus in her arms, and Mary allowing the separation of Jesus as Jesus is buried. I really believe one of the best ways for us to contemplate the passion of Christ is through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Amen.